has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined in the broadcast today. We're looking forward to your comments, dialogue, and discussion in relationship to what we're talking about as the issue. Wars and rumors of wars. The war that we're in against Iran, is it a just war? What is a just war? I've heard the rumblings about that for some time now. Listen, even the Catholic Pope is warning America that it's not a just war. I don't know what he's reading. Don't know what kind of cereal he's eating in the morning. But it's simply not in line. What he's saying and thinking is not in alignment with what the Word of God says. I'm looking at an article. It says, Augustine's View on a Just War. It's talking about St. Augustine of Hippo. And it says, a significant figure in the early Christian philosophy discussed the concept of just war extensively in his writings in the book that is called The City of God. His views laid the foundation for later just war theory. Here are the four key principles of Augustine's just war. And I don't know of any person that can argue, you might want to twist words and intents, etc. And I don't agree with 100% of what Augustine said in relationship to the four major points, but let me just read them to you and get your thoughts. Number one is a just cause. Augustine argued that a war is just only if it is fought for righteous reasons, such as the defense of the innocent or the punishment of wrongdoing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the war that we're in today, at this moment, with Iran, is a just war because it's being fought for a righteous reason. What is that righteous reason? The defense of the innocent, the punishment of wrongdoing. As this writer says, the first point of the just war theory of St. Augustine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things I disagree with Augustine on. I've used the term a saint he ain't. But when it comes to the basic fundamentals, the skeletal issues that he's talking about here, he was on target for the most part. The war that we're in today is to protect the Constitutional Republic called the United States of America. It's to protect all of our allies around the globe. It is to prevent the, quote, wrongdoing that is called terrorism. And Iran has been the global sponsor of terrorism. And ladies and gentlemen, since the fall of the Shah of Iran in 1979, we've had just under 50 years of appeasement, of talking peace, of talking with different treaties, and giving billions of dollars, as Obama did, to try to buy peace. We've even tried the just don't mindset, just don't mindset of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. when asked the question, what would they do in relationship to Iran and its infringement on rights and liberties, their answer was, just don't. What would you say to them? Just don't. That worked pretty good, didn't it? No, it didn't. Second principle of the Augustine's view of just war, legitimate authority. Now listen to this. A just war must be declared by a legitimate authority. This reflects on the idea that not just anyone can initiate war, but it must come from the governing body that has the right to do so. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's where much of the argument proceeds from today. The argument by Hakeem Jeffers, the argument by those that are seated in the U.S. House of Representatives that I call the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat leaders, they're claiming that Trump does not have the authority. When you look at the Constitution, he has the 100% authority. It was in 1973, if I'm not mistaken, the War Powers Act was instituted. Every president since then has ignored it and said it has no constitutional authority and is not to be adhered to, etc., etc. Because under the War Powers Act, let's just use some hypotheticals. If the War Powers Act were to be instituted, then Iran could fire off a missile or a drone or a nuclear weapon on the coasts of America. And President Trump then has to call a session of Congress, has to present the case, say this is the number of people that's been killed, this is what's happening, now the West Coast is falling into the ocean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So would you please give me the authority to retaliate? Under the present mindset of Hakeem Jeffers and the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats that's in the U.S. House of Representatives and some in the Senate, like Chuck Schumer and others, the mindset is that President Trump's hands have cuffs on them, handcuffs, and he can't do anything until he picks up the phone and calls the socialist, communist leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives and say, may I retaliate? May I respond? May I protect America? May I carry out my responsibility as president? May I have the authority to do what the Constitution says I have the authority to do? Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the case. It's not the case at all. President Trump, has the authority to protect America, to protect America's borders, to protect us from both in-house, if you please, in America, and globally, those that are enemies to the United States of America. This is the problem that we have today with our U.S. House of Representatives and the mindset that Trump didn't get our approval. In fact, about an hour before the strike against Iran, he met with what's called the Gang of Eight, those that he knew would have the confidentiality, told them what was about to take place. And now the challenge is from Hakeem Jeffers and Chuck Schumer, why didn't he tell us? Because President Trump knew that if he told them, that the Ayatollah and Iran would know within minutes. That's the sieve that we have in D.C. today. That's anti-America, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-God, anti-anything that is constitutional. The third point with Augustine's view of the just war is right intentions. The intention behind the war must be to promote good and avoid evil rather than for a personal gain or vengeance. And now there's some that say that Trump is doing this just to get back. It's just vengeance. That's all Trump is doing. That's the reason Trump's now prosecuting those that tried to put him in jail, because it's just vengeance. No, it's for making things right in America and promoting good. In fact, when you look at the biblical record, ladies and gentlemen, in relationship to what that God gave us civil government for, it's very, very simple and very clear that God gave us civil government, according to Romans chapter 13. He gave us civil government to prosecute evil and to protect the good. And we find that so much of that has been perverted and made upside down and totally wrong today. Let me just read you a few verses in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is zip zero no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained, that means appointed, approved of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the powers. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister, talking about government, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Very simply, succinctly, how would you say, interpreted? Is God created civil government to be his slave servants to carry out God's will in what is called humanity. And when that is evil, bad, the word evil means poneros, it's the evil word meaning bad, wicked, not good, wretched, rotten. When that which is bad, government is to come in and handle that, if you please, and protect those which are good. So when we talk about this war, is it a just war? Absolutely. It is designed of God to be utilized to protect good and to prosecute evil. And the fifth thing is proportionality. Now listen to this, and you try to figure it out if you can. The response in a war should be proportionate to the offense. Excessive force and cruelty is not justified, even in a just cause. Now I want to ask you a question. If Iran had, and they admitted in that conference, that they had uranium refined enough to make 11 nuclear weapons. They were unwilling to give them up and plan to use them. So therefore, if we say, okay, please don't, let's pay you some money, let's buy some more time, would that be just? Absolutely not. And if they had the privilege and the opportunity to release a nuclear weapon on Israel and on America, they would do so. So can we say proportionally what we're doing is in proportionality? In fact, what America's doing, what Israel is doing, trying to avoid anything that's residential, anything that would hurt or harm or destroy the people, the population. It's the government that is at the forefront that we're trying to remove from the place of authority, as they've had now for all of these years, that's destroying anything that is good. Listen, I'm looking at a whole list that I printed out this morning called Bible Verses About Just War. For example, the one that I read earlier, Ecclesiastes 3:8, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Matthew 24:6-7, and ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Romans 13:4, text that I just read. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he, speaking of government, beareth not the sword in vain. The sword is for carrying out war, if you please. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath. That word wrath is the word thumos, white hot anger, upon him that doeth evil. Psalms 144:1. Out of the Psalm, what's called the Psalm of David. Blessed be thou, Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 through 4. When thou goest out to do battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And ladies and gentlemen, we can go to scripture after scripture after scripture in relationship to what God said and how God said to handle it when it comes to the enemy, and what God said to the children of Israel as they were going into what is called the Promised Land. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a need for us to recognize today that there is the need to protect our nation and to protect us against what the enemy would do to us. And I'm thankful that Trump is doing that. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. In Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, verse 16 and 17, listen to this, and I'd love to hear from you. Respond to this. But of the cities of these people, that's talking about the people and going into the cities, into the Canaan land, the Promised Land. But unto these cities, these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, that thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Verse 17, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. God said when you go in to the Promised Land, destroy the enemy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that can be the, how would you say, the renouncing of that, the rejection of that, resentment for that. But God's word said it. I didn't say it. And we need to recognize that Iran, the Iranian government, are the enemies of our nation and nations and peoples around the globe. We need to recognize that. In fact, in Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, sure, God loves us. He is referred to as the Prince of Peace. But ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time that we need to recognize that we need to do the protection that God said that we need to do for our people and for our nation. Listen, a just war. Many of the seculars today and some Christians use the definition of St. Augustine and say that we're not following that. It's not that we're not doing what is supposed to be for a just war. I think we are. I think it's being followed exclusively. For example, the cause is just, the battle is evil, and we need to protect the innocent. We find, secondly, the cause is just. The authority is vested in the hands of the president, not the hands of the enemy, embedded in our U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate. Listen carefully. What if we had to depend on AOC or Ilhan Omar, any of the others that are anti-Americans and anti-Constitution and anti-God and anti-Christian? What if we had to depend on them? Can you picture Kamala Harris as president at this time? Can you picture Sleepy Joe and what he would be doing at this time? Can you picture Hakeem Jeffries or Nancy Pelosi or any of those, if they were in charge of the Oval Office, of what would have been done? Perhaps they would have gotten on the hotline, the red phone, and picked up the phone and called the Ayatollah and say, "Don't. Don't. Just don't." I think that would have been highly effective, don't you? I say that, of course, in jest. But I believe the intention is right, and that is to promote and protect peace from nuclear war that would destroy all of our nations. I'm thankful. I'm looking at a headline that says Pete Hegseth says strikes are to destroy Iran's missile system, the Navy, and end their nuclear program. The Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth laid out the Trump administration's objective for its joint airstrikes with Israel on Iran, destroying the Middle East country's missile system and Navy and ending the pursuit of nuclear weapons. Quote, "We didn't start this war, but under President Trump, we are going to finish this war," he said. And this further states in this, the Secretary of War was just at the press briefing, Joint Chief of Staff General Dan Kane, who reiterated the U.S. mission is to protect and to defend the United States and all of our allies. Now, that fits into the categories. Whoever wants to argue and debate, whoever wants to remonstrate against what we should do in relationship to that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline of about a six-page article that I just found this morning and printed out. And I'm just going to touch on the headline. Digress a moment from the centrality of the issue today for the purpose of making a point. The headline says, "Did the Ayatollah try to blow up the Temple Mount before he died?" It says, "Sunday was a tragic day in Israel as the Iranian missiles killed 9 people, some of whom were in bomb shelters, left several missing and wounded dozens, including several children, bringing the number of Israelis killed by the Iranian missiles to 10, along with nearly 500 that's been wounded. But a tragedy of a different kind was narrowly averted on Saturday, the first day of the war. One missile landed just several hundred meters from the Western Wall and the Temple Mount. The missile hit the Sultan's Pool outdoor venture that was taking place." And I could go on and on. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say, and I'll reiterate it, one of the best things that could happen, in my opinion, eschatologically, prophetically, and biblically, one of the best things that could happen is for a Scud missile from Iranian firing to go off course, to hit the Temple Mount, and wipe the El-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock to clean and to flatten that 35-acre rectangular piece of real estate. Why do I say that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said before, and I'll reiterate that now, in the Dome of the Rock, I've not been there. I've seen beautiful pictures of it. You go into the entrance, and immediately you're faced with a floor that's going in a round circle with a ornamental iron fencing covering a round opening. And you look down over that fence into the opening, and what do you see? The very top portion of the rock that's called Mount Moriah, which is where the first sacrifice was done, where God had told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And you know the rest of the story. That's in Genesis 22. He didn't, because God stopped him and said that he would provide another sacrifice that was pointing down the road to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was where the first temple was built, the second temple was built, the remodeled temple was done, and the future temple, which we call the third temple, which in my mind is really the fourth temple. But it's called the third temple because during the days of the tribulation, there will be sacrificial services out of the temple. During the days of the millennial reign, the 1,000 years when the Lord Jesus Christ is seated on his throne, he will be seated on the throne in the new temple. And as I've said before, and let me reiterate, the Temple Mount Faithful, some call it the Temple Mount Movement, they already have the priest vestments made. They already have the gold and silver utensils for the temple made. They already have the menorah, the 8-candle menorah, that's already done, already made. They have prepared and training the temple priest in preparation for it. But the most beautiful part of that is, ladies and gentlemen, they have the blueprints according to Ezekiel chapter 40 through 46 that gives the exact details and blueprints for the new temple, the millennial temple, as it is referred to. They already have the blueprints done. And I'm told by the Temple Mount Faithful that they believe that they could build that temple in less than 24 months. That tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that right near to where we are today, time-wise, could be the cleaning of that Temple Mount and the rebuilding and the building of the third temple could start any day. Because, ladies and gentlemen, listen, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Immediately following the rapture of the church is the Antichrist stepping on the scene, ruling and reigning for 7 years with an iron fist and killing, destroying anybody that would say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. According to Revelation chapter 13, everybody be required to take the mark in the hand of the head. And it's through that mark, that identifier, that identifies with the Antichrist, that you'll be able to buy, sell, and trade. Otherwise, you would be just a vagabond wandering in the streets until you die. The point that I make, ladies and gentlemen, is that temple is essential in the last days. And by the way, it's fascinating that even though it's part of the eschatological prophetic future that must come about, there's very little in the scripture that says this is a sign that you need to understand. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. It is my conclusion that a war that like we're in today, a war with Iran, where we're witnessing today the erratic firing of the missiles, the erratic lobbing of missiles and drones to destroy. In fact, they're focusing now on Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's there. I'm looking at a headline article that says, the mosque that was built on the site traditionally associated with the first Jewish temple, often identified as the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, is the El-Aqsa Mosque. It was originally constructed in 705 to 715. During the period of the time of the caliphates, it was after Muhammad was dead. However, the Islamic structure most directly built over the exposed bedrock traditional link to the Holy of Holies and the first temple is the Dome of the Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on, but may I say to you that according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and following, Daniel 9:27 speaks of sacrifices being stopped in the middle of the future week, that is during the 70th week of Daniel, where the sacrifices will stop. Listen, the Jewish people have had no sacrificial system since AD 70 when the temple was destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, there must be a temple and it must be rebuilt to have a sacrificial system. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 and 4 describes the man of sin sitting in the temple on the throne to be worshipped as God. Revelation 11, 1 and 2, John is told to measure the temple. Ezekiel 40 through 48 describes the full details of the temple during the millennial reign that will be utilized. Ladies and gentlemen, so therefore, let me just summarize the thought for a moment. The future temple must be in Jerusalem. It must be on the historic Temple Mount. It will stand where the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque stand today. May I say, the biblical prophecy speaks of the sacrificial system being resumed. It cannot be resumed unless there is a temple. So, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to understand, from a central biblicist viewpoint, we need to rejoice in the realization and the recognition that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control, and that God has placed at this time President Trump, President 45 and 47, to carry out the task that must be done. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a biblical foundation, I believe, for the just war that we're talking about. Scripture, but one writer says, Scripture presents God as sovereign over all nations, raising them up and bringing them down. Daniel 2:21. Such verses underscore that while God permits war in a fallen world, He will provide standards of justice and mercy. In Deuteronomy, specific instructions for warfare were given to the Israelites, illustrating that even in times of conflict, moral criteria was paramount. Deuteronomy 20 describes the protocol for approaching the enemy cities, then offer them peace, and then wiping them out. Yes, Scripture also calls believers to seek peace. Romans 12:18 encourages us living at peace with everyone when possible. But ladies and gentlemen, when it becomes impossible, and there's the danger for our nation, I'm thankful that President Trump is in the Oval Office. May I say to you, that's part of the self-defense in Exodus 22:2, God's authorization of government to use force in Romans chapter 12, verse 4. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, a good example found in Deuteronomy 20. I read those verses a moment ago. God said to destroy, speaking to the children of Israel, destroy all the enemies of the Jewish people and go into the promised land. Listen. I believe we must honor God. I believe we need to honor His Word. I believe we need to do all that is possible to bring about peace. But where there is the necessity of war, I believe that we must protect our nation. We must not appease the enemy, but we must, ladies and gentlemen, confront, go into combat, and remove the enemy. I believe we need to pray for our warriors today, ladies and gentlemen. Those that put on the uniform, get up and go to battle each morning. I believe we need to pray for them. Pray for the president. Pray for those that are leading out of Israel. Pray that God will develop in and through this war that people might look up, lift up our eyes, and realize that our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for...